888-914-9149. I posted something on Twitter yesterday, just a few words, and got a big reaction. Maybe you reacted to it. I said, "Hey, married couples, be fruitful and multiply. It pleases God and drives the left crazy." And by the left, I'm referring to the political left and all the people who think that there are too many people on this planet and we have to have fewer people. I certainly don't buy into that. So beneath that, I posted a picture of my family. So we have 11 kids, and that's back in 2008. And then I said, but wait, there's more. And I pointed out that of those 11 children, those who are married have given us 25 grandchildren so far. And what prompted me to say this on Twitter was I saw a picture of a mom. It looks like the dad had taken the picture. So you got mom and all the children, and she's holding a little, each one is holding a heart with the number on it. So number one, number two, etc. So it goes from the oldest girl down to the little baby in a bassinet. And then mom's holding another heart-shaped card that says number 10, saying, of course, that she's expecting. And the person who posted this is what, that's what got my attention. And he posted, he says, this is environmental terrorism. And I understand what he means. I certainly disagree with it. But you are consuming resources and things like that. So that's why I posted my picture. I said, here's my environmental terror squad from back in 2008. And then I talked about the grandchildren. So lots of other people, then they began to comment on it. And I thought it was kind of unfortunate. Some people, they came in and said, yeah, well, we've had all these miscarriages and we haven't had any children. They took it in the wrong spirit. It's not saying that people who have tried very valiantly to have children and were unsuccessful are not important and that they are not successful. It wasn't intended to say anything like that. It's one of those things on Twitter. Sometimes the clearest, most obvious intention of an image is the one that some people, they just don't get. But in any case, it reminded me of a situation that I ran into personally when I was in a store to buy some stuff. I had a friend with me, and we were in line waiting for the checkout counter, and we were chatting, and I don't remember how it came up, but in the conversation, it came up that at the time, we had only 9 kids. And I'll never forget the moment when the lady in front of us turned around and she was glaring at me and she said, "You have how many kids?" And I was shocked because, you know, what business is it of yours? I thought to myself. I said, "We have 9. Why?" And she was really glowering at me and she said, "Well, that's the most selfish thing I've ever heard in my life." Really? How, you know, I'm thinking to myself, how is it selfish to, rather than maybe have a nice car or nice vacations, you're spending that money on Pampers and milk and cereal and tennis shoes and clothing that the kids outgrow every 6 months. Parents of kids, you know what I'm talking about. I'd never thought of it as selfish to get up in the middle of the night to clean up the vomit from a sickly child who wakes up in the middle of the night. So it didn't compute. I couldn't figure out what do you mean it's selfish? And so she said, "Well, it's selfish because you are taking up resources and you're crowding the planet and your carbon footprint." And she was really worked up. And then she finished by saying, "And I'll bet you're anti-choice too." And I said, "What was your first clue? The 9 kids?" And so she was just really, she was really unhappy with me. She was making a scene. And other people in the store were looking at this thinking, "What on earth is going on here?" So she said, "Well, get over it." And I said, "What do you mean get over it?" She said, "Get over your anti-abortion. Get over it." I said, "I don't understand. What do you mean get over it?" She said, "It's legal. Get over it. It's the law of the land. It's legal." And I said, "Well, slavery used to be legal. Slavery used to be the law of the land." Now, she didn't say anything to me. She got even angrier, but she didn't say anything because she couldn't say anything. Because after all, her argument that it wasn't a bad thing because it's legal. And I even asked her, I said, "Are you saying that just because it's legal that it's okay to do?" She said, "Yeah, it wouldn't be legal if it weren't okay to do. If it weren't moral, it wouldn't be legal." And that's when I brought up slavery. I said, "Well, slavery used to be legal in this country. White people used to be able to legally own black people. And that was actually backed up by the Supreme Court." And she just glowered at me. And then I said, for that matter, in Nazi Germany during World War II, it was legal, you know, on the books anyway, it was legal for the Nazis to round up and kill millions of Jews and other people. Did that make that okay? She just stared at me. And then after using those two really grim and profoundly horrible things, the Holocaust and slavery, by comparison, this is less weighty, but still, this is the straw that broke the camel's back, it seems. And I said, and by the way, prior to 1920, it was legal in this country for men to prevent women from voting in elections. It was legal. Is that okay? And I didn't even get the words out of my mouth because she stormed off. And I've never forgotten that conversation. It happened about 20 years ago. But you know what? What really stuck with me, it must have been more than 20 years ago, because 20 years ago, we had 11 children. So it was longer ago than that. It never left me. I wonder if that conversation ever left her mind. I wonder if she still thinks about it today. Maybe she's still angry today. I don't know. I don't know if she paid for the stuff either. I was so just agog at the fact that she had the caucasity to say this to me that I just didn't notice whether or not she paid for the stuff that she was waiting in line to buy. But the key here for me was I used her own logic against her position. I wasn't shouting. I wasn't tub thumping. I wasn't lecturing. I wasn't doing anything. I was just taking her logic to say that abortion is legal because it's morally permissible. And it wouldn't be legal, she said, if it weren't morally permissible. So just take that kind of argument and just turn it around. It's called, in logic, in philosophy, it's called reductio ad absurdum, where you reduce a premise, you reduce an argument to its logical, absurd conclusion. And once you get to that point, you don't have to say anything more because it becomes obvious that there's something wrong with that argument. And what's nice about that technique is that you can use it very calmly. You don't have to get upset. In fact, don't get upset. Just use it very calmly. Ask a few questions. Point out a few things. And eventually that inconsistency will come to the surface. And boy, when it came to the surface for her, when she realized that her argument didn't really hold any water. Because how is she going to argue against that? How is she going to argue against, you know, the evil of slavery? Or how is she going to argue against the evil of the Holocaust? And the odd thing was that what made her the most angry, it seems, was the idea of it being legal to prevent women from voting in elections. I don't know where that came from. It just popped into my mind. Maybe my guardian angel gave that one to me. I don't know. But that's all she wrote. And that was the end of the conversation. So maybe next time you're faced with something like that, you can try that type of argument. You can discuss it. It's not hard to do. And the dividends can be pretty sizable. We're going to come back with more of the Patrick Madrid Show and your phone calls right after this. My number is 888-914-9149. Have you ever been in a situation like that? If so, how did you handle it? 888-914-9149.